I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Exodus chapter 30, verse 22. And moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half as much, even 250 shekels, and of the sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, and after the shekels of the sanctuary, and the oil of olive and hin, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compounded after the art of the apothecary, and it shall be a holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings, and all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them, or whosoever touches them, shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto the priest's office. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, and the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, in the sit in heavenly places with you, for we believe and trust in you for that we're going to receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Would you just give the Lord another hand clap of praise this morning? I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning on a subject I would entitle the anointing oil. Now, we often talk about the anointing. We pray for the anointing of God in our lives, our ministries, our activities. We recognize that we need the power of the presence of the Holy Ghost, amen, to give us strength and power to make us overcomers. Amen. And we also realize that what Zechariah meant when he said in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, he said, then he answered and spake unto them, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That we must minister in the power of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that without the anointing, we waste our time in church? Amen. We can do all we want to do, but without an anointing, nothing's ever going to happen, because Isaiah said it is the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage and then sets the captive free. It is that anointing of God that we need in our lives, and we must have if we're going to make it in this world. Amen. Listen, the most simple definition of anointing is simply to be set apart, to be set apart for the use of God. When the king was anointed, they would take a horn of oil. Now, I looked around, and as close as I can find, they would take a big ram's horn. Now, I don't know if y'all seen those, but if you've ever seen a shofar, that's a ram's horn. And they would fill it up with oil, that anointing oil that they would use to anoint the king. And when they anointed him, it wasn't just a little dab. Now, we got to where we go down and say, preach, I need you to anoint me. And we'll get a little oil on our finger and reach up and tap you on the head, and you're happy. But that's not how they did it. They took that whole horn of oil, dumped it over on them, and the Bible said it actually ran down and off the skirt of their garment, meaning they were covered with oil. Amen. Now, I'm sure if we got into that practice, some of y'all would never come to the altar saying, preacher, I want you to anoint me. Glory. I'll never forget one time the Northport Church of God, Brother Perry Stone was preaching there one night, and he walked up to one young man and said, can I do what I really feel led to do? He said, yeah. And he just poured a whole horn of oil on him. I mean, he tipped the whole bottle, just turned it up. That old boy fell out and stayed out in the spirit for a long time. God blessed him. And another young man was there, was an evangelist. Now, you got to understand, young evangelists have a bad habit of trying to copy older men. They don't understand sometimes that if God ain't in it, you don't need to do it. I remember when I was an evangelist, I'd done some goofy stuff sometimes to motivate people because I felt like God was in it. I had a guy tell me one time, say, hey, why don't you do that every time? I said, if God ain't in it, it don't work the way. But this poor young evangelist started carrying a bottle of oil to church with him every night. And every night he was pouring oil on people. Amen. It got to be so bad, one of our preachers in the state that wasn't known much for joking walked up to me one day and said, have you seen so-and-so lately? I said, no. He said, he's having a great revival. I said, how you know? He said, well, I saw him at the bookstore, and he was buying a gallon of oil. Glory. Now, when you got a guy with no sense of humor making fun of you, it's bad. Glory. But the reality is, the whole idea is they're set apart to be used of God. When we see somebody preaching and we say they're under the anointing, that means that God has chosen to put his hand upon them and to help that word that they speak move on them. And we have copies of these things in the Word. Like when Stephen spoke, the Bible said his words cut the hearts of them that listened. When Jesus spoke to the men on the road to Emmaus and they said, oh, our heart burned within us as he spoke to us. It has caused the anointing that was in that word and the move of God that was in that word to drive it home. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle was full of furniture and utensils. And all of a sudden, Moses receives an edict from God. I need you to design a special oil. Amen. Let me tell you something. This oil was so important to the Jewish people that if somebody mixed this oil up and used it for something else besides the anointing of the temple and what God said use it for, it was punishable by death. Hello? He said, take the following spices, 500 shekels of myrrh, and half as much, or 250 shekels of cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant cane, and then 200 or 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and then get a hin of olive oil. Amen. And mix it all together. Notice what he said. Do it by the way of the apothecary, meaning mash it up so it mixes well, so that it's not just a bunch of lumpy stuff, but put it together like it ought to be. Can I tell you, when the anointing comes, it's going to be a smooth savor that's going to touch people and minister to folks. And church, let me tell you something. The anointing can reach beyond the walls of this building and bring people in. Come on, church. Amen. I'll never forget a revival one time. The lady had been praying for her son. Hadn't seen him in a long time. Hadn't heard from him in 6 months. And we were praying. She come up after church. She said, Pastor, I said, ma'am, I'm evangelist. Amen. Because up until about 3 years ago, I didn't know what pastor was. Amen. And she walked up and she said, well, whatever. I want you to pray with me for my son. Everybody that comes here, I get them to pray with me for my son. And she said, I want to believe that God's going to bring my son home, that we're going to see him in this altar. She said, I've been praying for him ever since the night he left my house. And now I don't even know where he is, but I believe God's going to bring him back. And she kept praying and kept believing. And we gathered together and started praying. I'll never forget that night at church, the choir was singing. I was in Albany, Georgia. And I'll never forget, we were there. And suddenly this young man comes through the back door. I don't know who he is, but it seemed like everybody in the church caught sight and they realized who it was. He come walking down the aisle, went straight to mom, throwed his arms around her, and they came straight to the altar. And he said, this morning, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, in the middle of a drug deal, and something got a hold of my heart, and I just threw everything down, and I headed home. And he said, I got here just a little while ago, and I made my way to the church because I knew where I could find you. And he got in that altar and gave his heart to God. Can I tell you, friend, we need that kind of anointing in Alabaster Church of God, where we can pray for our loved ones that are lost and on the way to hell and see God begin to move in their life. Could you say amen? I wanted to break this anointing oil down this morning and take a look at what we have here. Do you realize that if we made this oil today with current prices, it cost you about $1,400 to mix up what they mixed up? Glory. I don't know about y'all, but we probably wouldn't be pouring it around a whole lot at them prices. Amen. First of all, the ingredients were, number one, liquid myrrh. Myrrh is a painkiller. It's a healing agent. The anointing will get you through pain. It'll take you through problems. It'll take you through trials. Amen. Isn't it amazing that God wanted you to understand each one of these has a reason, because it can help you in your life if you get the anointing there? I mean, let's face it, church. I had a guy tell me the other day, said, I wish you'd preach something positive. So I'm going to tell you something I'm positive of. You're going to have pain in your life. Well, that's not positive, preacher. Yeah, it is, because I'm positive of that. Amen. The Bible said the same things that are accomplished in the world will be accomplished in the brethren. I wish I could tell you like the TV preacher that you're never going to have a problem, never have a trouble, never have a trial, but I got to live in the real world. And I hear the word of God saying that we're going to go through trouble and we're going to have trials. Amen. Said many are the afflictions of the saints of the Most High God, but he also said our God will then deliver us out of all these afflictions. If we've ever needed anything, we need the anointing of God with the myrrh that is in it that can help kill the pain and heal the pain and take away all the heartache and let God begin to move in our life. Can I tell you, an anointing of God will break bondage and set people free like nothing else over the things we've been bound by for years. Jesus received myrrh 3 times in his life. Once at his birth, once while he was on the cross, and then they anointed his body with myrrh for they put him into the sepulcher. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We need that anointing to set us free that'll heal the wounds and the hurts of our life. Amen. I don't know how many churches that I've seen almost destroyed, but the anointing start putting it back together. Amen. I'll never forget. I may have told this story, but I was in revival at a church one time, and it was really blowing my mind because most of the time I went to this revival in this church, they were always ready. They had a good pastor. He was there 20-something years, but he was as good a pastor as the Church of God had. And he always had his people ready. And I got there that week. It was like I was running into a brick wall every night. I had a group on this side and a group on that side. And y'all have heard about cliques, and we're not talking about the family. Glory. I told a guy at a prayer conference, I said, I got a problem. I got some cliques in my church. He said, you need to get them out. I said, no, they tithe payers. Glory. But I'm serious, they were biblical. Because when church let out, neither the twain did meet. Glory. This side went out that door, and that side went out that door. And I made it through Saturday night, the revival, because this was back in the old days when we had revival on Saturday night, and folk would come out. And I'll never forget, the preacher had already decided he was preaching the next morning, and he thought I had another revival. When he found out I didn't, he said, hang over and preach Sunday night. And to be honest with you, I almost said, why? But I didn't. I hung over and I preached Sunday night. But I kept saying, God, what's going on? Because this pastor's not telling me nothing, which I appreciated that. Because I'll be honest with you, when pastors started telling me what to preach about, I usually steered away from it to be sure that I wasn't getting in the flesh. He got up and preached that morning, and it was like you could tell he was running into a brick wall the whole time he was ministering, and that was unusual for him. And I got there that night, and we started having church, and the Spirit of God was moving, and I noticed some young folks was really beginning to feel the presence of God, and they came to the altar, and one little girl was in the end of the altar praying, and I knelt down beside her, and I said, sweetheart, you know God loves you. She said, I do. And I said, you know you need God. She said, I know. I said, well, why don't you pray? She said, because of my daddy. I said, what are you talking about? Because her daddy was a friend of mine. I said, your dad's a good man. She said, yeah. Well, him and his cousin have got this church split right down the middle. And they won't have nothing to do with each other. And if they're Christians, I don't think I want anything to do with it. Glory. I said, you just hold on right here. I'll be right back. And church, this took a lot. Because this guy was bad about giving me free food. He was a friend of mine, but if I was in that area, all I had to do was let him know, and I could go by the place that those two men worked at, and one or the other was going to give me free sausage, free ribs. And all I had to do was show up, and I had it. And all I could think about going across there, ain't going to be no ribs this week. Lord. I sat down beside him. I said, you know, Charles, I love you. He said, oh, man, I love you too. He said, hey, don't let me forget, I got 2 boxes of stuff in the car for you. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's awesome. But I said, look, I got to talk to you about something. He said, what? I said, your daughter's over at the altar. She's talking about getting saved, but she told me she wouldn't pray because of you. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, she basically said you was a hypocrite. And I said, that's just a short way. He said, what are you talking about? I said, because you and that fellow over there is arguing about something. He said, you know, he liked to cost me my job, and I ain't had nothing to do with him since that time. And he said, just to be honest with you, if he hadn't left, I would have. Amen. I said, so you tear a church over, a problem at work, you tear it all to pieces. I said, because this church is tore up. And I said, no telling how many people might have got saved this week or might have got filled with the Holy Ghost or might have got ministered to, but they couldn't get beyond the barriers y'all thrown up. And I said, I love you, buddy, but until this comes down, I don't even want the food you got in your car. And boy, it was hard. Glory. I walked over to the other guy, sat beside him, and all I could think about was, he just went to work for Dank's Hams. I'm not getting sausage, I'm getting canned hams. Glory. And as I walked up, he said, hey, I got you something in the car. I said, you might not give it to me. I said, because I got to talk to you like I did Charles. He said, you can talk Charles any way you want to. I don't care. I said, yeah, but I said, you and him both going to die and go to hell if you don't pray through. Glory. He said, I can't believe you said that to me. I said, is it not true? And I turned and walked off. And I knelt down beside the little girl on the altar, and suddenly I saw her tears start down her face, and her face kind of screwed up. She started crying. Then I heard people shouting in the church, and I turned around and looked, and those two men were hugging in the middle of the church, and suddenly there was a wound healed, and all of a sudden they started praying. That little girl and about seven others got saved. I remember the pastor's grandson got filled with the Holy Ghost that night. Man, we had a move of God, and when it was all over, the pastor got up to close the service, and he turned around and he said, I'm tearing up a letter that I wrote to the overseer. I was going to resign because I thought I'd failed God. But he said, I realize now it was a matter of the anointing breaking the yoke and loosening this place back up. I think it was like 10 or 12 years later in a brand new sanctuary before he retired as a minister of the gospel. I want to tell you, church, sometimes we got to realize there's going to be pain, but part of that anointing is the myrrh that will take away the pain and will begin a healing process in your life. Could you say amen? But notice this. That myrrh was also used for anointing the dead. So I said, preacher, what are you talking about? The only thing that's going to get our dead loved ones alive in Christ is the anointing of God. We can use all the programs we want, and we can get them here, but if there's no anointing, we're never going to see their lives change. But oh, when that anointing begins to move, it'll take a dead life and put life in it. It'll take somebody with no joy and give them peace and joy that's beyond any comprehension. And if we've ever needed anything, we need the power, the grace, and the glory of Almighty God to come in. Because let me tell you, when the anointing gets to flowing, it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you come from. If you'll let everything go to God will change your life and give you a new day. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 26. I see a young lady come in off the streets. And you know what they said about her? She's a sinner. Those of you that don't know what she did, she made her living on the corner. Jesus is at a man's house eating, and they get all upset because she comes in and starts to worship at his feet. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. And then she done something very unusual. She took an alabaster box. Those of you know what it is, and one of these days I'll bring the one I've got at the house to the church. It's a stone that is sealed, and inside it is a precious perfume. And the only way to get to it is to break it open. And it was sealed until you broke it. You know what she did? She broke the top off of that thing and began to anoint his feet and pray for him. And suddenly God touched her life. You say, well, preacher, what happened to her? Oh, she came on and lived for God the rest of her life. Amen. I remember calling about her brother dying, and he showed up. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Oh, I just shocked some of y'all. Y'all ain't read your Bible? The Bible said that when Mary called on Jesus, it was the same Mary who washed Jesus' feet with her tears. Hello? That's why I have a problem. Somebody tries to tell me Lazarus was royalty. I don't think royalty would have his sister working on a street corner. Come on, church. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, it happened. And God brought her out. And God changed her life. Can I tell you that I've seen a lot of people that people said couldn't get right. But when that anointing got in their life and they were willing to open up to God and say, hey, I'm not going to give you a little dab. And I'm not going to give just a little bit and hold back the rest. But I'm turning it all loose because that's the only way to really get where God wants you to be. And when she did, God turned her life around and brought her out with an anointing in his presence. Could you say amen? Hurry, church. I'm telling myself that. Glory. The second ingredient. Well, this is something I like. Cinnamon. Glory. Nothing like a good cinnamon roll. Cinnamon coffee. I'm not saying it's bad, but I walk in Starbucks and they know what I want when I come through the front door. Lord. And I put cinnamon in my coffee. But you know, there's some things about cinnamon I begin to learn. Cinnamon's a flavor that really gives it a pleasant smell. You know, you like the smell of cinnamon until it gets real thick. Then it gets kind of, whoa. But I noticed this. Cinnamon also is hot. You put too much cinnamon in something you're cooking, it'll get spicy hot enough, it'll burn your tongue. Amen. So I said, preacher, what are you talking about? You got to use it in the right measurements. Oh, but there's the sweetness of cinnamon. Amen. And then there's the fire of the cinnamon. Amen. So when they put it in the anointing, you're going to get it all. Amen. When you get that anointing in your life, notice this, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the afflictions and the lust thereof. But for me to live in the Spirit, then I also should walk in the Spirit. Amen. What's going to happen? I get a sweetness because God's got it. But I notice this, I also get a fire. Church, let me tell you something. Fire motivates you to do something nothing else will. Come on, church. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but fire will make power and make an anointing and make you move when nothing else will. Come on, church. Amen. I want to tell you something. There is nothing worse than a dead Pentecostal unless it's a cold charismatic. Glory. Hello? And I am appalled at the churches today that say we can't build a church unless we stick the Pentecost in the back corner somewhere and literally tell folks, if you got to shout, go to a back room. We got one for you back there. It's a shouting room. You can't do it in the sanctuary because you might mess somebody up. Amen. And you know, our bigger churches are telling us, and they're teaching our younger guys, oh, if you let that happen, you'll never get a church to grow. You'll never have anything. Amen. I want to tell you something, church. I've got two people that I know of. One of them took a church running 20s, running 900 to 1,000, named Kevin Wallace. Amen. And he's in Ottawa, Tennessee, blowing the doors off a building. He's throwing down having church every time he has church. Amen. A couple of weeks ago at prayer conference, amen, Brother Brian Cutshaw was teaching, and he's got a church. He left a church running 500 and went to a church running 50 because he said God sent him there. Of course, he's running 4,000 or 5,000 now at Tweed Rivers in St. Louis, Missouri. And I'll never forget, he said, the other morning, God began to move. And he said, I didn't stop the move of God. He said, you shouldn't do that. He said, as soon as we were through church, I set everybody down and explained what happened so they would understand, because many of my people are not Pentecostal, and I didn't want to run them off. But he said, I don't stop the move of God because I understand that's what got us where we are. Can I tell you, church, we in the church of God, we don't need to be ashamed of the fire of Pentecost and what God gave us and brought us to where we are. There's a world outside looking for somebody with passion for God, and we need that passion to turn the world upside down. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, preacher, I just don't believe fire motivates you. And you ever had somebody give you a hot pepper and you eat it? You can get motivated. I was at revival one night, and this fella come walking up, a little thing, looked like a little old bitty mini bell pepper. He said, y'all to eat one of these. I eat one breakfast, dinner, and supper. Sometimes I have one for snack every day. I raise them in my hot house. Now, I did not know that he pulled them early, because they normally turn kind of an orange color. They're called habanero peppers. They make jalapenos taste like ice. He throwed that thing in his mouth, didn't leave nothing but a stem, so I... You know, I didn't feel nothing until I swallowed. And then I felt life ebbing out of me. I lost my breath. I ran over and got water. Let me tell you something. The worst thing you can do with that kind of hot is put water on it. It multiplied it greatly. I started eating bread. Then I got some salty stuff. I ate a bag of chips. I left that church that night, drove to the bottom of the mountain at Fort Payne and got me a quart of milk and drank it. I drove to Gadsden. I pulled off in a Tala, and I bought another quart of milk. When I made Springville, I was getting some more milk. And I finally got the fire to go out. Hello? So I said, what's that got to do with your sermon? We need something to motivate us. something to get on us and make us realize there's got to be something different to what's going on. And we don't just need the sweetness of the cinnamon. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what John promised? He's coming after me. I don't even have the ability to undo his shoes, but he's going to give you the Holy Ghost and fire. Glory. God, give us that we need today. Amen. Then there was the fragrance of calamus. Calamus, a plant that grows in miry soil. To get the plant to smell, you got to tuck it down and chop it, put it in a thing, process it, and break it all up. And the more you process it, the sweeter it smells. And as it does so, it begins to give you more and more. But now notice this, calamus is a stimulant oil. As the oil comes out that they would mix with that oil, it is a stimulant oil. Do you know they've actually found today that if you rub calamus on your skin, it will help your appetite? It makes you hungry. Now, I understand physically we don't need none of that around here. But spiritually, we need some hunger. Because I tell you, hungry folks will eat. Hunger will make you do stuff nothing else will make you do. I remember one night I was sitting up late watching the news, and I got on one of the channels, and I don't forgot which one it was, but used to on one of the cable channels, they would go to the BBC at night, and all night long they would show 24-hour, that 12 hours from midnight or to 8, 10 o'clock morning, wasn't 12 hours, but from midnight to 8 or 10 o'clock next morning, you'd get the British broadcast news on that channel. Oh, I remember watching it when they were fighting in the Middle East, and that guy was out there with them, and you'd see them out there fighting, and he'd be watching them, and he was having a big time until they started shooting back. Glory. Then next thing you know, he's down behind the cover, and the camera's laying on the ground, and he's talking, but the camera ain't pointing no more. Glory. He was in Africa, and he was following these guys that were chasing a guy, and the guy had an AK-47. There were two of them. And these men were chasing him with clubs and sticks. And they were swinging at him, throwing stuff at him. And every once in a while, those guys would stop and point their guns, and they'd freeze, and then they'd start running again. And, you know, finally they caught him. And he turned the camera off. When he turned it back on, you couldn't really see the guys that had the guns, but they weren't there anymore. But those guys had sticks, and they were kind of colored on the end, so you realize what happened to the dudes with the AK-47s. And even though there were two or three of those guys laying where you could see them in the street where they'd gotten shot, the rest of them were standing there. And that guy said, "What did you do that for?" And one of them held up some keys and said, "They've got the keys to the place where the food is. And our families are starving. And we made up our mind if we died, we were going to die getting food for our families. And because of that, we now have the keys and we're going to get the food." He followed them when they opened the warehouse and started pulling out grain and putting it into the back of a truck to take it to their families. And I want to tell you something. I looked at that and I said, hunger will motivate you to do something you won't do otherwise. Can I tell you, we need calamus to get in the anointing of this church, to give us a hunger for God like we've never had. So when those kids hand you this little stick tonight, you'll make a commitment and say, "Hey, I am going to start reading the word, because it is the bread of life, it is the water of life, it is the power of God that will come into my life and give me such of his grace, and I need that word in my heart." Could you say amen? And if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, God said, "You shall be filled." Ooh. Glory. God, give us a hunger for you. Then they had a thing called cassia. Spice grows only in elevations of around 8,000 feet or above. It's amazing, but it does smell a lot like cinnamon. It's used to help people purge themselves. I'll use the word so some of you won't misunderstand me. It's a laxative. We need God to help us get rid of some things, church. We need that anointing to begin to show us things in our lives we need to get rid of so that we can get closer to God. Now, see, somebody said, "Oh, I can't believe he said that." I can't believe I have to preach this to church folks who's been in church for 20 years and ain't got rid of nothing. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. Well, I don't have a problem. What about idolatry? Some of y'all will put other things before church because it's more important to you than God. And God won't play second fiddle to nothing. So when you make something more important, come on, church, smile at me. Y'all may not have nobody in Alabaster. If there was guys in Buell, it wouldn't even work during hunting season because they was going to hunt. So they'd go down to the store and lie like dogs every morning about what they was looking at. Glory. Because if they'd been killing everything they was, they'd have been selling meat. They'd have been killing so much. Glory. Come on, church. I remember one guy got down there and told him he shot a turkey. The other guy said, you think that's something? I was out in my backyard the other day and had a feed trough. I said, two of them was eating. I shot and got both of them in one shot. I don't even believe he shot either one of them. I never saw him bringing turkey around for nobody to have. Glory. And I said, why are you off on hunting? Because that's one of the things we'll put before God. Oh, come on, church. We have things in our life that become more important than God because we'll pass up Bible study or prayer because we're going to go do this because this is what we want to do. Is that not idolatry? When you make it more important than God? And what about witchcraft? Oh, preacher, ain't no witches in this church. There's rebellious people here. And if you have a rebellious spirit, the Bible said rebellion is as witchcraft. Amen. Oh, come on, church. I just lost a bunch of friends. But I'm preaching the truth. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We need that anointing to help us rein ourselves in so we can do what God wants us to do. Church, I got news for you. God's fixing to take this town. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the middle of it. Amen. I want to do everything I can to be in what God's going to do. You say, preacher, what makes you think that? Because everything I ever read in the scripture tells me Jesus is getting ready to come back. And when the bridegroom comes, he's coming looking for a bride. He's not coming looking for a woman who's been drugged down the road behind a car, tore apart, half dead, no oxygen. But we got church folks that actually believe he's coming back for a church. It's falling apart and about half dead. And we just hope we make it till he shows up. He's coming for a bride who is going to be adorned in her greatest adoration. And when he steps out on the clouds and say, well done, we're going to go to meet him in the air. But we're not going to leave here back down and turn apart. I believe the church is fixing to see its greatest day. I believe God's fixing to start moving in the house of the Lord with an anointing that's going to set the harvest on fire. And I want to be in that anointing. I want to be in that harvest. I want to be used of God in this last day. And I believe with all my heart, it's going to happen right here in the house of the Lord. Could you say amen? All those ingredients are put into olive oil. Olive oil comes from being pressed and broken. It's very hard sometimes, church, to realize it's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about him. And unless we can become broken and humble before God, we are never going to see the move of God that we want to see in our lives. But if we can ever let go of who we are and let God become alive. Paul said, it is not I, but Christ that lives within me. I don't want to astound you with my words. That's what Paul said. I don't want to entice you with the enticing words of my wisdom. This is one of the most educated men of his day. He said, but I want to see the demonstration and the move of the Spirit of God. I want to see God take lies and shake them up and put them in an altar and turn them around and get us another group of people to help us move a city for the glory of God. He said, preacher, do you believe that's true? Yes. Listen. John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. In other words, he's saying, if you get hungry enough and thirsty enough and you get broken enough, I'm going to flow through you. And when I flow through you, it's going to come out and touch everybody you pass. Say, preacher, I don't believe that's possible. Peter walked down the street, and if his shadow crossed him, they got healed. Elijah was so anointed that even dead, they throwed a man in his grave, and when they hit the bones, that guy come back to life. That kind of anointing is real, and it can happen in our lives. You say, wait a minute, preacher, why? Because I read in the Word of God where Elijah and Elijah were men just like we are. They had nothing different except they paid a price to be touched by the anointing of God. And if we have it, it will change us. It'll break us. Paul wrote to Timothy in Timothy chapter 2 Timothy 4:2, and I'm fixing to close. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Let's face it, church. We're in a world today where everybody wants to make the scripture say what they want it to say. They'll take one verse of scripture and they'll twist it every way they want to and say, well, now this is what this means. Why don't you read two or three scriptures above, two or three at the bottom, and see what the conversation's about. It's called taking it in context instead of pulling it out, making it say what you want it to. Because let's face it, church, I could tell you go hang yourself by the neck till you're dead, because the Bible said Judas did that, and there's a place over there where it says go thou and do likewise. Now they don't connect, but I can make them connect. Glory. You can do the same thing and make the scripture say a lot of stuff it doesn't say. But if we put line upon line, precept upon precept, there's a singleness of doctrine Paul talked about. And that's because we accept the word for what it is, infallible. Hello? Because if this word's not infallible and there's wrong stuff in this book, no reading any of us ever showing up. Because none of us is going to make it, because our only hope is this is the infallible word of Almighty God. Because all our hope is based on this book. Because when I stand before Jesus, he's not going to judge me on what theological terms I fell under. He's not going to ask me my opinion. I'm going to be judged by this book. But listen to what he said. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's now a crown of righteousness laid up for me. I don't know about you, but I haven't lived the last 38 years of my life just so somebody could look at me and say, Pastor, I like that, but that's not what I live for. I don't get up in the morning and do what I do because I'm going to get paid for it. And if I did, I'd go get a job. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because ever since God changed my life in 1974, when he saw a spark of good in a no-count human being and turned my life around, he gave me a heart and a desire to reach everybody I can with his love. And I get up every morning because of him. I do what I do because of him. And I'll take every opportunity to reach somebody because of him, because I know it is his power, his grace, his anointing that's going to change their life. And I know what can happen when God gets involved. And we in the church need to pray, God, let that anointing overflow. Not just a little touch, God, but from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Let your anointing flow. Let it move in me, God. I hunger for you. I hunger for your grace. I hunger for your love. And when we do that, I've got a God that's going to open up the windows of heaven. Pour out blessings we cannot contain. They'll be pressed down. They'll also run over. And when they start running over, everybody we pass is going to get hit with the outcry of what God is doing in us. Stand with me all over the house. Several years ago, the evangelism department gave out little coins. They were gold. You could buy a roll of them for, I think it was $25 to give out to people. It had the prayer of Jabez on it. I had several rolls that I was helping them sell to raise money for the Evangelism Home Missions Department, and I kept several rolls myself and would give them out in my revivals. I was at the maximum security prison in the state of Alabama one day. We were there witnessing, talking to people about God. We had a church service with them. When I gave a man one of those coins, next time we were there, he had a hole drilled in it, was wearing it around his neck. A month or so later, I was back in the area, and myself and Tommy Reeves and Albert Mosley, a couple others, went back down there to do a service. And he came walking up to me and he said, "Preacher, don't know if I'll ever see you again." He said, "I don't know, they're moving me and I don't know where they're taking me," but he said, "You know, I'll never get out of prison the rest of my life." He said, "Well, I made you something." He said, "I want you to take this and remember me." I said, "Maybe somehow it's going to help you reach somebody." He actually made me a coin, handmade. It's got the prayer of Jabez on the back that I don't know how he got it on there. There's a couple of mistakes in it, but I don't care. I know what they are, and I know what it says. But I carry it around my pocket all the time. If I stop at a store, I pull my change out, and it's laying there. And inevitably, somebody says, "What is that?" And I pull it out and say, "Oh, here, it's a prayer coin." And I say, "It's got the prayer of Jabez on it." And I tell them about that man in prison, and it never fails that it opens a door for me to tell them about a God that could change your life, no matter where you are or what your circumstance is. Church, every one of us needs a point where we stand on and say, "I know my God is able." And it comes through the anointing of His presence. Father, I thank You today, God, for Your word, for Your love, for Your mercy. Holy Spirit of God, touch us today. Father God, I believe there are people under the sound of my voice today who really need a touch of Your healing anointing in their life. They're broken by things in their heart, broken by things in their life. They need You to wrap Your arms around them and let them know You love them. God, I believe You to touch them right now with Your grace, Your power, Your love. God, there are those of us that just need Your touch because we want to know that we know that we know we're where we need to be with You. Father, I believe You to wrap Your arms around them. Make us know who You are with Your love today, God. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.